So have a blessing, everyone. We only have 1 minute, but I would like to greet every single brother and sisters and those also on the phone. So have a blessing. I hope and pray that you all have really good weather over there. It's kind of rainy with a little bit of snow, but ice, not necessarily snow. This morning it started, but now it turned cold.
We had 3 inches of snow yesterday evening, but the sun is rapidly getting away with it.
Praise God. Have a blessing, everyone. Welcome to all the precious brethren that are joining us in the room. And for those that will be listening over other devices and later on recording, have a blessing, everyone, on this Sabbath, March 12, 2022. This is our part two review of our chapter 73 entitled, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. This is our part seven of lesson 351. Our tiny thought song of our theme is entitled, Anywhere with Jesus, and our dear brother will be the one to share it with us.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go, anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hand may lead me over dreary ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep. When the gloomy shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall waken nevermore to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go.
Amen. If any one of the little tiny thoughts, helped by their parents or older sibling, would like to open their section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
This is Sabbath, everyone. Have a Sabbath day. Please go and stand up on the word.
Please go check everyone here.
And to the
in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, this is the time that we share the little testimonies of mommy and daddy's or auntie or the family little blessings. I will give the chance for any one of the dear little ones to share their testimony of how they helped their mommy and their daddy and became a blessing.
This week on mommies and daddies and aunties and uncles little helper, would like to highlight all the children that are here. They all were in prayer and in praying for recovery for my husband. They all joined together and was in prayer for that. So would like to highlight them. because their prayer is helping in God listening and helping them to feel better.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And we extend our prayer as well that the Lord will give him a speedy recovery, even among all our dear brethren as well, if there's anyone among us that is under the weather. Well, dear ones, this is our continuous study of chapter 3, the visit of the wise man. But this is our review section, and our dear brother Dick will be the one to reread it for us.
Good morning, boys and girls. The visit of the wise men. And in Matthew 2, 1 and 2, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" God wanted the people to know about the coming of Jesus, of Christ, to the earth. The priests should have taught the people to look for the Savior, but they themselves did not know of his coming. They hadn't been reading their scriptures. So God sent angels to tell the shepherds that Christ was born and where they might find him. So too, when Jesus was presented at the temple, there were those who received him as the Savior. God had preserved the lives of Simeon and Anna, and they had the joyful privilege of testifying that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And then they went and told others. God meant for others, as well as the Jews, to know that Christ had come. In a country far to the east were wise men who had studied the prophecies concerning the Messiah. Apparently, they had gotten a hold of a copy of what we call the Old Testament, and who believed that his coming was near. The Jews called these wise men heathen, but they were not idolaters. They didn't worship idols. They were honest men who wanted to know the truth and to do the will of God. God looks upon the heart, and he knew that these men could be trusted. They were in a better condition to receive light from heaven than were the Jewish priests, who were so full of selfishness and pride. Isn't that something? The Lord had to go to people who didn't know him, and his own people didn't have any time for it. These wise men were philosophers. In other words, they were educated men. They had studied the handiwork of God in nature and had learned to love him there. They had studied the stars and knew their movements. They loved to watch the heavenly bodies, that's the stars, in their nightly march. If a new star should be seen, they would welcome its appearance as a great event. On that night when the angels came to the shepherds of Bethlehem, the wise men had noticed a strange light in the sky. It was the glory which surrounded the angel host. When that light faded away for the shepherds, they had seen in the heavens what looked like a new star. At once they thought of the prophecy which said, "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." Numbers 24:17. Was this star a sign that the Messiah had come? They determined to follow it and see where it would lead them. It led them into Judea, and they didn't get there as fast as you can drive across town. It took them weeks to ride their camels all that distance. But when they came near to Jerusalem, the star grew dim, so dim they could not follow it. That's from Story of Jesus, pages 21 to 23. Let's see. Is that it, Rose, or something else? I'll continue.
Yeah, now comes the review section. Next Saturday, by God's grace, next Sabbath, we will continue with part two of our chapter three, entitled Visit of the Wise Man, and that will be held March 19, 2022. And now this is the section of the review. Okay, Brother Deck, let me continue.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Wise men from the east were philosophers. They belonged to a large and influential class that included men of noble birth and comprised much of the wealth and learning of their nation. Now, they were the rich people. Among these were many who imposed on the credulity of the people. In other words, they took advantage of ignorant people to tell them strange things, but these men were not like that. Others were upright men who studied the indications of providence in nature and who were honored for their integrity, their honesty, and wisdom. Of this character were the wise men who came to Jesus. The light of God is ever shining amid the darkness of heathenism. As these magi studied the starry heavens and sought to fathom or understand the mysteries hidden in their bright paths, they beheld the glory of the Creator. Seeking clearer knowledge, they turned to the Hebrew Scriptures, which we call the Old Testament. In their own land were treasured prophetic writings that predicted the coming of a teacher, of a divine teacher. Balaam belonged to the magicians, though at one time a prophet of God. By the Holy Spirit, he had foretold the prosperity of Israel and the appearing of the Messiah, and his prophecies had been handed down by tradition from century to century. And that's what they had read. But in the Old Testament, the Savior's advent was more clearly revealed. The Magi learned with joy of his coming, that his coming was near, and that the whole world was to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. The wise men had seen a mysterious light in the heavens upon the night when the glory of God flooded the hills of Bethlehem. As the light faded, a luminous star, bright star, appeared and lingered in the sky. It was not a fixed star nor a planet. And the phenomenon, or the wonder of it all, excited the keenest interest. That star was a distant company of shining angels, but of this the wise men were ignorant. Yet they were impressed that the star was of special import or interest to them. They consulted priests and philosophers and searched the scrolls of the ancient records. The prophecy of Balaam had declared, There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Numbers 24:17. Could this strange star have been sent as a harbinger or a warning of the promised one? The Magi had welcomed the light of heaven sent truth. Now it was shed upon them in brighter rays. Through dreams, they were instructed to go in search of the newborn prince. That came from Desire of Ages, pages 59 to 61. All right, folks, I think it's yours. No? Oh, is this the review questions for now? Okay, who came to Jerusalem looking for Jesus? Anybody know?
The three wise men.
They were people that studied, and they even got a hold of a copy of the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, and they read the prophecy. And when they saw the star, they wondered, could that be? And sure enough, the Holy Spirit came to them in a dream and says, Let's go, fellows. This is a fulfillment of that prophecy. So they headed off for Jerusalem. How about that? Let's see what's going on here. Dismiss that. What led them to Jerusalem?
The star in the sky.
Star in the sky. Yep, the camels didn't know where they were going, but the drivers of the camels told the camels, you follow that star, and they finally got there. What does integrity mean?
Haley and Emma.
Explain it?
What does integrity mean?
The quality in being honest.
Okay, the quality of being honest. Tyshawn, what does integrity mean to you?
Having strong morals, principles.
Okay.
Principles.
Okay, and Talia, what does integrity mean to you?
Righteousness.
Having moral uprightness. So integrity means have the quality of being honest, having moral principles, and moral uprightness. Right?
Uprightness. Uprightness.
Very good.
Yes, that's it. We have the love of Jesus and his commandments in our heart, and that causes us to want to do the right thing. All right, I think now it's time to hand it back to Rose. Thank you for listening.
Amen. So I'm going to just make a little statement. Do you see how diligent these three wise men were by their conviction? They didn't let anything deter them. So just as we see all the wonders of the events passing through, we must do the same thing. Stick to the conviction and know that all these things must be because our Savior is soon to come. May the Lord guard and plant you firm in your integrity to be able to give the announcement. Get ready, for our Savior is soon to come, just like those three wise men. Well, dear ones, this is the time to learn precious lessons from our nature that we learned from last Sabbath, and our dear brother Josh will be the one to continue the review of our part 5 of the Word of Life, Wisdom from Above.
Seth, blessings everyone. Here's today's lesson of water goes along with the study of the water. A shining star. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Matthew 2, 1 and 2. The wise men had seen a mysterious light in the heavens upon that night, when the glory of God flooded the hills of Bethlehem. As the light faded, a luminous star appeared and lingered in the sky. It was not a fixed star nor a planet, and the phenomenon excited the keenest interest. That star was a distant company of shining angels, but of this the wise men were ignorant, yet they were impressed that the star was of special import to them. They consulted priests and philosophers and searched the scrolls of the ancient records. The prophecy of Balaam and had declared, there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Numbers 24:17. Could this strange star have been sent as a harbinger of the promised one? The Magi had welcomed the light of heaven-sent truth. Now it was shed upon them in brighter rays. Through dreams, they were instructed to go in search of the newborn prince. As by faith, Abraham went forth at the call of God, not knowing whither he went. Hebrews 11:8. As by faith, Israel followed the pillar of cloud to the promised land. So these Gentiles go forth to find the promised Savior. The eastern country abounded in precious things, and the Magi did not set out empty-handed. It was the custom to offer presents as an act of homage to princes or other personages of rank, and the richest gifts the land afforded were borne as an offering to him in whom all the families of the earth were to be blessed. It was necessary to journey by night in order to keep the star in view, but the travelers beguiled the hours by repeating traditional sayings and prophetic utterances concerning the one they sought. At every pause for rest, they searched the prophecies, and the conviction deepened that they were divinely guided. While they had the star before them as an outward sign, they had also the inward evidence of the Holy Spirit, which was impressing their hearts and inspiring them with a hope. The journey, though long, was a happy one to them. Desire of Ages, page 60. The wise men were of integrity, honest, and seeking truth. God guided them in the darkness of the night by a shining star, so he will guide us when we go through dark times in our lives. Jesus is our heavenly guiding star. Testimonies to Ministers, page 212. Besides the Star of Angels was another way that God had used to guide the wise men in their search for the Messiah? The answer is they searched the script, or searched the prophecies to find out where Jesus was. The Desire of Ages, page 60. We can be wise men too if we also search the prophecies. They tell us where Jesus is today. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and after receive me the glory. Psalm 73:24. Remarkable parenthood. The Lord moved upon the wise men to go in search of Jesus, and he directed their course by a star. This star, leading them when near Jerusalem, led them to make inquiries in Judah, for they thought it was not possible for the chief priests and scribes to be ignorant of this great event. The coming of the wise men made the whole nation acquainted with the object of their journey, and directed their attention to the important events which were transpiring. Fifth Bible Commentary, page 1077.
Amen. Praise the Lord. While we were gathering the information for the nature of walk that was going according to the visit to the wise, of the wise, we also had a picture that was very interesting. It shows you what happened with sunlight and snow and ice. And it just happened that our dear sister, Christina, sent me a picture, not really knowing what was the message at the time with the tree. So I'm going to give our dear sister a chance to be able to share the experience of the same thing that was happening in our story, but now in color and live.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. So there are, when I took the picture, it was in the middle of the day. I think it was the middle of the day. The sun was really shining. So,
Christina, are you there to be able to share the picture? Is she there? By God's grace?
Yes, ma'am.
You're speaking. Go again, Christina.
So I, when I took the, there, it appears in this picture that there are leaves, or red leaves on the tree, but there aren't. That's the ice that had been frozen onto the branches and the sun is reflecting. And I, the picture that I really wanted was, what I personally was seeing, like the, it was like more of a rainbow, kind of like how the people wrap their trees with, the Christmas lights on their trees. That's how this tree was looking, just without the light. The sun was reflecting on it so nicely that it made rainbows throughout, the tree because of the ice that had frozen on the branches. And that was the picture that I was hoping to have gotten, but that's not what happened. But this is pretty too.
Thank you so much, dear sister. Without her knowing that in the picture of our story, they was trying to elaborate how beautiful when the sunlight hits the tree and how the ice is like it crystallized. So when you have the spectrum of light towards anything like water, it does cast the effect of a rainbow. But to just see that this sister was embarked looking at what was going on in nature, we also had a picture. Now we have a live picture to what it was supposed to be. Praise God. And thank you so much, dear sister, for sending the picture. So remember, dear ones, anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Welcome to all the precious family that are just coming in. Our opening song is a hymn entitled, I Am Thy, O Lord, also known as Draw Me Nearer, If you have the book, it's number 306. If anyone of the Dear Remnant family would like to also share the hymn, you may unmute your mic to do so. I am Thy, O Lord, I have heard Thy voice, and it's all Thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side.
Consecrate me now to Thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in Thou. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side.
Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before Thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with Thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear family. If any one of our guests, mommies or daddies, or even our elder siblings would like to open the review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Thank you, God, for this afternoon. Please protect us while we're gonna be in this Sabbath. Please protect us while we're gonna do this. Please protect everybody who's here. I want no more trouble to the other ones.
Kaylee, you logged this out. Sis. That's why I didn't tell you to touch it. You have to wait, Kaylee. You have to go ahead.
Please protect everybody that's about to learn. Please protect everybody who's here. And protect this Saturday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from the book of John, chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, margin, and this is a memory verse song.
Let not your heart be troubled.
Amen. Let us begin our review, dear ones. So what have I learned in ways we have grown? Before we hear your question, your comment, or anything you would like to share with the Remnant family, let's take a few minutes, dear ones, to be able to go over last Sabbath study, part 1 of Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, part 7, in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear Remnant family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
In his
discourse
to the
disciples,
Jesus made known
mournful
allusion to his
own
suffering and
death.
His
last
legacy to them was a legacy of
peace.
He said,
peace
I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the
world
I unto you, let not your heart be troubled.
Neither
let it be
afraid. Good job. Desire of Ages. Page 671.
Paragraph 2.
Okay. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John chapter 14, verse 27. Before leaving
the
upper
chamber, the
Savior
led
his
disciples in a
song
of
praise.
His voice it was
heard
not the
in
the
strain
of some
mournful
lament, but in the
joyful
notes of the priestly
Passover
Hallel.
And that means hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That means hallelujah.
Okay. Oh. Praise
the Lord, all ye
nations.
Praise him, all ye
people.
For his
merciful
kindness is
great
to all us in the
truth
of the
Lord
endureth.
What is this word?
For.
And what is that word? Ever. Forever.
Forever.
Praise
ye the Lord.
Psalm
117.
And then it says on the slide, From Psalms 117, verse 1 through 2, King James Version. O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endured forever. Praise ye the Lord. And that was taken from the Psalms 117, verse 1 through 2. And this paragraph was from Desire of Ages, page 672, paragraph 3.
The Desire of Ages, page 672. After the hymn, they went out through the crowded streets. They made their way, passing out of the city gate toward the Mount of Olives.
Olives.
Slowly they proceeded, each busy with his own thoughts. As they began to descend toward the mount, Jesus said in a tone of deepest sadness, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written.
And continue on the next slide, please.
Continuing, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. The disciples listened in sorrow and amazement. They remembered how in the
synagogue
at
Capernaum,
when Christ spoke of himself as the bread of life, many had been offended and had turned away from him.
Amen. Continue on the next slide, please.
The Desire of Ages, page 671, continued. But the 12 had not shown themselves unfaithful. Peter, speaking for his brethren, had then declared his loyalty to Christ. Then the Savior had said, had not I chosen you 12, and one of you was a devil? John 6:70. In the upper chamber, Jesus said that one of the 12 would betray him, and that Peter would deny him. But now his words include them all. Desire of Ages, page 173, paragraph 1.
Now Peter's voice is heard vehemently protesting, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. In the upper chamber he had declared, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus had warned him that he would that very night deny his Savior. Now Christ repeats the warning, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Next slide, please. Continuing, But Peter only spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. That's from Mark 14:29, verses 30 and 31 as well. In their self-confidence, they denied a repeated statement of him who knew. But they were unprepared for the test. When temptation should overtake them, they would understand their own weakness. These are Ages 673, paragraph 2.
Continuing, when Peter said he would follow his Lord to prison and to death, he meant it, every word of it, but he did not know himself. Hidden in his heart were elements of evil that circumstances would fan into life, unless he was made conscious of his danger. These would prove his eternal ruin. The Savior saw in him a self-love and assurance that would overbear even his love for Christ. And continuing on the next slide, please. Much of infirmity, of unmortified sin, carelessness of spirit, unsanctified temper, heedlessness in entering into temptation had been revealed in his experience. Christ's solemn warning was a call to heart searching. Peter needed to distrust himself and to have a deeper faith in Christ. Had he in humility received the warning, he would have appealed to the shepherd of the flock to keep his sheep. And on the slide, it says, shows a picture at the bottom right hand of the screen, and it says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And continuing on the next slide, please. When on the Sea of Galilee, he was about to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. Then the hand of Christ was outstretched to grasp his hand. So now if he had cried to Jesus, save me from myself, he would have been kept. But Peter felt that he had distrust, and he thought it cruel. He was already offended, and he became more persistent in his self-confidence. Desire of Ages, page 673, paragraph 3.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So let us take and consider this verse for our review, dear ones, from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, from the King James Version. O sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So what have we learned in ways we have grown? We have reserved the 6 questions for our dear little ones, mommies or daddies, so even our guests would like to be able to share their answer. For those that are listening over the devices and later on recording, we are going to reread the 6 questions, and we're going to open the mic for our dear family to participate. The first one is, who is the main character or characters of our lesson, part 7 of our study? The second one is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3 is, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And the last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? We're going to open the mic for our dear remnant family to be able to answer or share.
Peter, Christ, and the disciples.
That's for the question, who is the main characters? What is the main idea for this section of our story? The main idea for this section is for us not to trust ourselves and for us to lean wholly upon the Lord. When we trust upon ourselves, we see that we know nothing and that we make grave mistakes and can lead us onto the enemy's camp. For number 3, where did the story take place?
As they were leaving the upper room.
Yes, as they were leaving the upper room. Number 4, when did the story begin? We know a section of the story began, and this has been a continuation of when the foot washing ceremony, the foot washing and the communion ceremony was taking place, and they were in the upper room. I don't know if anyone have anything else to add for when this story begin. Continuing, or number five, how could you relate to this story? I could relate to this story in the sense that so many times in our daily walk, in our toil, we tend to forget what is it that we are supposed to do when situation comes up in our lives. And in our fretfulness, in our worriness, in our haste, we tend to do things according to our own judgment. And in those cases, we make a hill into a molehill, meaning we make a situation that is small that we could have taken to Jesus and waited on him into something so much more grand. So I could relate to this because I have personally done this, and in some cases is still doing this in everything, in how I handle things in my day-to-day. So that's how I can relate to that. I'll bubble down, and if someone else would like to tell how they could relate to the section of the story.
My answer to number five is, Peter and the others weren't ready for what was going to happen because they were too reliant on themselves, thinking that they had what it would take to witness about what Christ was planning to do, which is to sacrifice himself, and that he was actually going to die for every sinner in the world. But their overconfidence and selfish demeanor stopped them from being humble, well, not knowing what will happen afterwards. So they weren't being humble.
For number six, what did you learn from this lesson? And every time that I say, what did I learn? I take that with a grain of salt, meaning I'm learning. What am I learning from this section of the stories? Learning to have humility and to trust wholly upon the Lord, and really taking things day by day, truly searching the scriptures and just trying to live according to how the Lord will have me live, relying upon a thus saith the Lord, and not what I think is right or what others think is right. But that's what I am learning from the lesson of this.
I would like to add to that. I realized that as the Lord was teaching the disciples, so much like we are with so many customs and traditions in our teaching, that they were still hung up on a lot of the things in their time and the way how things were, to the point where as he was teaching them, those things took root and did not let them understand what he was really saying. So they were caught unprepared and unaware of what he was trying to prepare them for. And in that, I learned to really let go as much as I can. And as something that Sister Cece said, I'm learning to really let go and have the Lord have me let go and just cling to his word, because his word is coming from him, like just as in their times. And we need to dive into what he's teaching us and hold on to the promises. And that's what I have learned.
I will also want to be able to share, but mine is a testimony. On the section where Peter was not necessarily acquainted with his heart, I have come to understand and learn that the Lord knows us more than we know ourselves, and how we need to rediscover once more how we are, not in our own eyes, but how the Lord sees us. I had an incident that happened to me, and usually anytime when things like this happen, it seems that I always try to be able to defend myself or fight back. I was assaulted, and at the time that I was being assaulted, instead of fighting back, I was able to hear when the Lord said, it is really the trouble that they have going through, and they feel kind of defensive of how to be able to deal with it, but not to take what it was that was being done, but to really look and see the root of where it come from. It was out of fear. It was out of desperate situation. And the Lord allowed me not to look at it in the way how natural eyes can see, but to look towards how Jesus wanted us to be able to be aware of what was going on with the person. And I'm so thankful that God is so personal that he tells us to quiet ourselves and to be able to see through his eyes and not through our eyes. Because while the enemy is trying to be able to destroy, God is going to do everything to rescue the soul. And this is what I have learned, even with the circumstances with Peter. He loved God, but he was not acquainted in what way the Lord was going to save not only the world that will come to him for salvation, but also how he was going to save him as well. I wanted to share that as well. And if there's anybody else that would like to share or give a comment on the study, I will give a few seconds before we go any further.
Okay, Rose. Something was said earlier about early training. We tend to believe what we're first told on a subject, and we base everything we hear after that on that subject. If we're told all automobiles are white, and then we see a red one or a black one or a green one, we say, there's something wrong here. This should be white. What I'm saying is, whatever we learn first, we base other things on that. Solomon said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. It's that first teaching that's so important in a child's life. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. And I start and agree, dear brother. Amen. Sharing the thoughts and a poem, dear ones. This thought was taken from the Review and Herald, January 4, 1887, part 24. If anyone of the dear remnant family would like to share the quotation, may you please unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Margin. Mothers have a great responsibility resting upon them, and in the day of God, what will be the account which they will have to render to him for the influence they exert over the youth under their charge? I want to work for God every hour of my life and every moment, and then I want to crowd in all the work I can consistent with the amount of strength he gives me. Herald, January 4th, 1887, paragraph 23.
I want the young to wear at last crowns of immortal glory, said the inspired apostle. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong and have overcome the wicked one. And here are young men whom Jesus wants to come into his arms. Here are young men whom God wants to go forth with all the armor on to fight the battles of the Lord. Young men, will you hear his voice? Will you listen? Oh, will you listen to his call? Will you not come to the Lord and find in him your strength? Will you not give yourselves to him today? Can you not say, here I am, Lord, and all that I am is thine? Thou hast bought me, and I am thine. Take me just as I am, and wash me from the defilement of sin. Help me to honor thee in the earth, and give me an immortal tongue that I may praise thee throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Review and Herald, January 4th, 1887, paragraph 24.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Blue and Brother Josh. Well, the poem is entitled, Daughters Do Not Leave Mother Do It. This is from Family Bible Lesson, Year 1, Quarter 1, page 29. From the Children Bible Activity Book from the Sunlight Education Ministry, from the Homeschooling from the Bible. If any one of the dear brethren would like to take one of the verses, may you unmute your mic.
Daughter, do not let mother do it. Do not let her slave and toil while you sit a useless idler, bearing your soft hands to soil. Do not you see the heavy burdens daily she is wont to bear? Bring the lines upon the forehead, sprinkle silver in her hair.
Daughter, do not let mother do it. Do not let her bake and broil through the long, bright summer hours. Share with her the heavy toil. See her eyes have lost their brightness, feared from the cheeks, faded from the cheeks, the glow, and the step that once was buoyant now is feeble, weak, and slow.
Daughter, do not let mother do it. She has cared for you too long. It is right the weak and feeble should be telling for the strong. Waking from your listless laughter, seek her side to cheer and bless, and our grief will be less bitter when the souls above her press.
Daughter, do not let mother do it. You will never know, you will never, never know what were home without a mother till that mother lieth low. Low beneath the budding daisies, free from earthly care or pain, to the house so sad without her, never to return again. Oh my.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If there's any testimony, I think we are over. We could hold it until the service are finished. So next week, by God's grace, we will continue with our part 8 of our lesson entitled, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, in our study book, Desire Ages. If any one of the dear brothers and sisters, mommies and daddy, guests, or little ones would like to close our family review with prayer, may you please, dear ones, unmute your mic.
May we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to thee today, we thank you for your blessed Sabbath day. Father, we thank you for the Sabbath school lessons that we have just experienced. We thank you for all the lessons learned, Father. We pray each day that we are able to let you teach us who we are as the way how you see us, and also that we might let go of the things thought and to learn from you everything that you would like to teach us in the way that it should be. Bless and keep us throughout the Sabbath day. Bless the children. Thank you for their participation. Bless their parents and teaching them so wonderfully. Be with us for the rest of the day. Bless the speaker and the next level of the studies. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will have our lesson 352, Do You Believe? Chapter 73, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, Part 8, and that will be held on March 19, 2022. Leaving this scripture and also quote, Psalms 119, verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precept. And from Education 20, 291, paragraph 2. Do you have an inborn love of liberty, the desire of freedom, and the need to understand that these inestimable blessings are to be enjoyed only in obedience to the law of God? This law is the preserver of true freedom and liberty. It points out and prohibits those things that degrades and enslave, and thus the obedient is afforded protection from the power of evil. May you all have a blessed Sabbath, dear ones, and continuing with the services today. May God bless each and everyone. Sabbath blessing, everyone.